We're continuing in a series of readings right next to each other in the Gospel of Matthew. And I have been reminding people that Matthew regards Jesus as the new Moses. So we see lots of parallels in Jesus' life from the life of Moses, particularly in that Moses has gone up the mountain and received the Ten Commandments. You all remember this. And then he comes down and tells the people the law. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has left the crowds behind, and he too has gone up the mountain, but his disciples have come to him, and he has sat down to teach them the law. So this now is the third series in the continuation of that teaching of the law that Jesus is giving to his disciples. Hear now the Holy Gospel according to Matthew from the fifth chapter. You have heard it said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister or sibling, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a sibling, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the fires of Gehenna. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that someone has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your sibling, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny. You have heard it that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that anyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into the fire. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into the fire. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that any man who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows that you made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word, yes, be yes, and your no be no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the children of your God in heaven, who makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your siblings, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly God is perfect. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I'd like to invite the young people to head out to the comfy chairs with Georgina. And after hearing that gospel, some of you may want to join them. The story they have is bedtime is canceled. Kind of the opposite of what we just heard. Yeah, bedtime is canceled. not too late. We won't think less of you if you want bedtime is canceled. Yeah. Out here, right out here, to the chairs. Micah, right out here. Jim will take you. Yeah. So we've been hearing from Jesus the new law, and now he's really piling it on. You're supposed to go, yeah. If I was in the Baptist church, amen. Like, he's piling it on. I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear my Jesus give me a laundry list of things that I have to do and things that I don't have to do. Yeah. And I can't imagine that, you know, I read this text, and at the end of the text it says, this is the gospel of the Lord. Yeah, this is the good news of the Lord. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Remember that Jesus has been healing. He's been teaching and touching people, and great, in fact, enormous crowds have been gathering around him, have been following him everywhere. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, seeing the crowds, the text says, seeing the crowds, he went up a mountain. I said, seeing the crowds, he ran for his life up the mountain. He was hoping that they couldn't keep up. It's like that, you know, when people are demanding things of you. But of course, his disciples, you know, we might be better to hear this as he's the teacher and they're his students. They would follow him anywhere, and so they wanted to know why he was running away. And when they got to the top of the mountain, he sat down and he began to tell them, blessed are the meek. They're the ones who are going to inherit the earth. Not the wealthy and the rich, but the meek, the humble. The pure in heart are the ones that are going to see God. Everything that you see down there in the world is backwards, he was telling them. And it's up to us to put it right side up. Now, I don't know, there was an enormous crowd, but when he looked around at who was sitting before him on that mountain, it was like 12 people and him. And he's telling them, we're the ones who are going to set it right for all those people, that whole enormous crowd. And here's how you do that. You cannot live your life according to the laws that the world tells you are the way to achieve happiness and success. The law allows you to just leave your spouse for no apparent reason, just because you feel like it. But I'm telling you, if you ditch the person that you've made a promise to, you're actually putting that person in a situation for them to sin. You're creating sin for somebody else. You know, the ancient law says that if somebody does something to you, you can do the same thing back to them, an eye for an eye. But I'm telling you, if you live an eye for an eye, the whole world's going to be blind in no time. So how do we turn it upside down, right side up? How do we put things right according to the kingdom of heaven, the 13 of us, he's telling them? Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. You see the people with power and the wickedness that's going on in the world, the gathering of wealth, the selfishness. Pray for them. Pray for them. And you yourself, stop being a jerk. Stop being a jerk. Look, I don't need to stand here in front of you and tell you what your sins are. You know what they are. Those are the things that you beat yourself up with day in, day out. You don't need a God who tells you, don't. Whatever it is, it's different for everybody, right? But I'm telling you, that's where you're supposed to go to work, Jesus says. You yourself. Confess daily. Stop it. I love it. Stop it. Stop being a jerk. It's not okay for you to live the way people out there live. You're not saying, yeah. It's not okay for us to live the way that people out there live. Marijuana might be legal. It's not okay to go smoke every day and live your life doped up. I'm not saying don't do it once in a while. I'm all for a party. But don't have that be your habit. Your daily routine of how you live. Live soberly. Live challenged. And Jesus says to his disciples, you know, the law says don't commit adultery. I get my numbers all mixed up. I think it's number 6. Number 6 says don't commit adultery. He says, but I'm telling you, if you look at someone like you want to, that's the same thing. You already did it in your heart. When he's on the mountain with his friends, he's telling his friends, his students, his disciples, it's not enough to have those 10 commandments. You have to become the kind of people who live the opposite of those, in other words, the positive version of it, in your heart. And you have to do that first, so that when you come down from the mountain, you no longer need that piece of paper telling you, do this, don't do that, don't do that, oh my gosh, do this, don't not. Who can live that way? I'm telling you, he says, get your heart right with heaven. That's the throne of God. Get your heart right with earth. That's God's footstool. And get your heart right with the holy city, the city of the great king. So how do we do that? Because this doesn't sound so much like gospel to me. It sounds to me like the prescription for how to live, and we have to dot our I's, cross our T's, and make sure we don't get it wrong. How do we be kingdom of the heart people? How do we do that so that we no longer have to have a prescription telling us, wait, I have to look this up before I do it to see if it's what I should do or not. Well, this is really unclear. Now I don't know what to do. That thing up there, I was clear about this. How do we be kingdom in our heart, people? How do we be kingdom in our heart, people? Lori says through prayer. Oh, Eric said it through prayer. I say pay attention. Eric's father died. How many of you know what that feels like? Rush to Eric's side. Pay attention. You don't need a law to tell you what to say to Eric today. Thanks for letting me talk about you. Maybe your community will rally around you. How do we be kingdom of the heart people? Rally round. Pay attention. Do we really see one another? Do we really understand one another? Even in this room? How do we be kingdom people? We pay attention. We notice what's going on. We begin to care about it. You know, I'm always telling Phil, it's a really good thing that when I'm down, he's up. And when he's down, I'm up. Can you imagine we're both down at the same time? What a disaster. Not just for us, but for you. When you're strong, Help someone. When you're weak, ask for help. When you're confronted, seek first to understand. You know, human beings, we're really, really quick to judge. And what do we judge by? The standard of our own personal life. This is how it was for me. This is how it should be for you. That's not understanding. That's judgment. Jesus up on the hill giving a whole lecture. I hate it, by the way. I wanted to go out there. I hate the lecture because I don't want to be told what to do, what not to do. Because you know what? If he has to tell us in every scenario, you should do this, you should not do that, he'd still be up there. What he's trying to do is give us enough of a picture of how life works so that we can be kingdom people in our hearts, equipped to get out there in the world and see people. Each one of us has a gift, a gracious offering of God poured out on us lavishly. Mostly it's the thing that you didn't want because you get it from your pain. But once you have that gift, you can relate to somebody else. Who knows struggle in marriage? Now I'm asking you to tell the truth, like it's awful now. Guess what? You get built up in your marriage so that you can help another couple that's struggling in their marriage. That's how that works. Who's been divorced? Guess what? I'm a city on a hill for everyone who's been through divorce because you know what? I'll tell you it's worse than death. It's worse. You do not have to raise your hand. Who's been addicted? Financially destitute? Lost? Faithless? Outcast? God builds us up into a city on a hill, a light for the world, through our disasters, that we might get out there and see others. That's how this works. But we have other trouble. Who's broken now? You can't get out there and help people if you're still broken. Our life together is ebb and flow. It's claiming healing font. The river of life running through this place to make us whole. It's bread and wine feeding us. God's very life broken open and distributed amongst us that we might be gathered together again in Christ's name with that same healing power. Jesus went up the mountain and he began to teach, but what he was teaching is there's an ebb and a flow. There's a give and a take. There's restoration and brokenness. There's destruction and recreation. This is the stuff of life. Bring it all to me, he says. I'm going to teach you how to pray for those who cause it. I'm going to teach you how to survive the natural disasters. I'm going to build you up into a city on a hill that you might be my sanctuary. I was in here the other day. There was nobody here. And I thought, could you imagine broken people coming to the church? They come in the sanctuary and there's no one here. There's no water in the font. There's no bread on the table. There's still a book in the pulpit, but who would have the nerve to go up there and open it up and start reading, right? The church isn't a place. It's a body. It's a body broken, restored, healed, built up, struggling, celebrating. This is the gospel of the Lord. Be in it together. Throw your cares on the mercy of our Savior. Help one another. Pay attention. Rally round. Work on your own stuff. Even if I wanted to work on your stuff, I couldn't do that work for you. Thank God. No one can do your work but you. In other words, Jesus says, you're going to have stuff in your way. Pay attention to it and take care of it, so that my grace can be your gift and you can be my gift to the world. Don't have a very strong ending today, but I have a suggestion. What are you wrestling with? What are you worried about? What are you hopeful for? Can you distill it down to one word? And then together, can we offer that word to God, to one another? That we might trust in God's mercy and trust in the grace we receive from one another. So if you have a word, I invite you to name it. Don't worry that other people are talking at the same time as you are. God has many ears. Selfishness. And let us pray. Jesus, thank you for teaching your disciples. Thank you for going up that mountain to get a law and to help that law live. May that law be the source of our life together, our joy and our strength, our hope for the future, the pathway for our feet. Make us bold and proud to follow you. Strip from us our selfishness and our short-sightedness. Give us strength to do our own work, to seek out healing and support, and to offer those things when we are well. May we live to see your kingdom come, where the whole of the world's community lives in consensus and help and peace, and your law is a light to the world. Feed us this day at font and table, and share with us your transformative grace. For it's in your name that we come to this place. It's in your name that we gather and that we pray. And it's in your name that we hope to be built up in your image. Amen.